What's up, DC? Welcome back to another edition of Locked On Wizards with SB Nation's Bullets Forever writer Ben Mahetch and myself, Anthony Citadino. We are your hosts, and you are now Locked On Wizards, where you get everything Wizards basketball. Go subscribe to the Locked On Wizards podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you may listen. Go throw us a follow on Twitter at Locked On Wizards. We have a great show ahead of us and a ton to get into. Ben and I will be going over a trade rumor involving one of the Wizards' young players. We'll be discussing a potential LaMarcus Aldridge trade. And we'll also get into tonight's matchup against the Philadelphia 76ers. So, Ben, let's get right into it, man. I know we haven't had it, a lot of you and I, we haven't talked about the latest loss against the Memphis Grizzlies. We'll get into that a little bit later. But we've also talked a lot about Troy Brown Jr. this season and his role and a possible trade, looming over him just because of how much he has not been used, right? And on Wednesday, he played 13 minutes, scored 5 points, 3 assists, blocked a few shots. Thursday, Wizards reporter Quentin Mayo tweeted that the Washington Wizards were now showcasing Troy Brown Jr. for a possible trade. So what do we think about this, Ben? Are they showcasing him, or do we think that Scott Brooks is going to be giving him more burn?
There's just so much wrong with everything, like so much with what you said in the last 30 seconds. The exact tweet, I don't want to take this out of context, that Quentin Mayo put out there was, the Wizards have made third-year small forward Troy Brown extremely available in trade talks ahead of the March 25 deadline. They're showcasing him, he put in quotes, one source added. So let's just unpack this, I guess, bit by bit. Extremely available. Why? All right, that's one question I got there. Second one, they're showcasing him. He played 13 minutes. He hasn't played really all season long. He's only played 200 minutes this entire season. His trade value was highest at the bubble when he averaged 15, 7, and 5, when he looked like a competitive young player. He's only 21 years old. He's a good passer for his size. He competes defensively. Like you said on Wednesday, he was one of the only reasons why they came back from a double-digit deficit. So he can compete. Most teams would find a way to utilize young players with his skill level, yet the Wizards haven't. So if you're going to showcase him, if you want to trade him, you should have done that after the bubble where he showed that he can contribute. So if you wanted to trade him and you knew you were going to trade him, should have done it when his value was highest. But like the Wizards do and have done in the past, they let his value sink, and now they're quote-unquote showcasing him by giving him 13 minutes. That's no showcase.
That's what I was just about to say that, right? I mean, like, how is that a showcase?
It's ridiculous.
They're 13 minutes? Really?
And I'm not going to doubt Quentin's report, because I don't think he would put fraudulent information out there. He has no reason to do so. He worked for CSN Sports Washington before. He's obviously well-connected with the team.
No, but it would be more eyebrow-raising if he got, like, say, 30. Like, 25 to 30 minutes, right? Like,
right.
Out of nowhere.
I mean, he did get minutes out of nowhere, though. Like we said, he didn't play the whole season, and all of a sudden he's getting 13 minutes, and he played well. So to me, right, he's 21 years old. He's on a salary cap-controlled contract. You got him under contract for next year. You picked up his option. He showed that he can hoop. He can contribute. Again, he's only 21. Why would you want to trade him at this point, especially a team that's so capped out? You're paying Russell Westbrook a gazillion dollars. You're paying Bradley Beal a gazillion dollars. You have no room to improve your team. You're looking for a defensive competitor, a wing player. Troy Brown can play that position. He can take some of the pressure off Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook. So my question is, why do you want to trade him at this point? His value was at an all-time low. You're picking the wrong time to trade him. And he has talent that you need. Because if you trade him, what do you want? You want a defensive player. He can do that for you. You want someone who can take some pressure off Bradley Beal. He can do that for you. So why look elsewhere when you have someone who's right under your nose who can do what the player you're hopefully going to get can do. So what's the point? It's all confusing all around. And the Wizards have done this in the past. They traded Otto Porter when his value was lowest. They've done this in the past. So it wouldn't surprise me if they do it again. But to me, it's just questionable. The entire development of Troy Brown has been questionable at best. And now you're seeing him potentially getting traded. To me, it's just head-scratching. And also, to be blunt, it's an indictment on this team's player development.
The development, has been questionable of Troy Brown only this season, though, wouldn't you say? I mean, last year, it was all thumbs up on my end. I mean, I love the minutes that he was getting. He was proving that he was a valuable asset to the team, a valuable asset to the league. And this year, he's getting no burn. I thought he played great last year, right? He shot great in the bubble. But, Ben, I agree with what you're saying, man, but I don't think the Wizards are thinking the same as you. I don't think that they need this piece. which is ridiculous, right? He has proven that he is one of the most capable pieces on this team. They don't play him though. He got minutes out of nowhere, and yes, he does all the things that you said, and I agree with you 100%. I just don't think that Scott Brooks wants to play him. Said he's not a point guard, wants to play him at the three, didn't play him at the three. Played him sporadically at the three as a spot-up shooter, too.
Played. I mean, he's functionally hasn't played all year, right? Yeah. If you were going to give Troy Brown a grade for this year, you'd give him an incomplete because he just literally hasn't played. Like,
and it's not on him, though.
Right, exactly. And we saw what he can do in the bubble. 15-7-5 is nothing to scoff at, especially when he's literally the only player on that team that made it.
I just don't understand what their plan was when they drafted him. This is his third year in the league, and this was your plan?
To me, it became clear that him and Denny Avdija overlap, right? They're both taller players that are kind of point forward type of players.
Right.
They play basically the same position. To me, they overlap. I think the Wizards picked Denny Avdija, and once they did that, the writing was on the wall for Troy Brown, which I think is a bad move. That's not how you develop rosters. You gain much assets and as many good young players as you can, and then you figure it out from there. But Troy Brown hasn't been given an opportunity. He hasn't been given any opportunity to play. And this team, especially Scott Brooks, has leaned on veterans. Howell Neto has been playing 25-plus minutes a game. He had a bad game on Wednesday, yet he still played over 28 minutes a game, and Troy Brown played 13. So they lean on veteran players, smaller players. Look, I'm just going to say one thing, Wizards fans. You remember this. Tomas Satoransky was a capable backup point guard, and when John Wall went out, he started for the Wizards and played competent basketball. What did the Wizards do against the Toronto Raptors in the 2018 playoffs? They signed Ty Lawson.
Oof, yeah.
They signed Ty Lawson straight from China, flew him from China, and then the next day he was playing in the playoffs because that's how badly they didn't want to play Tomas Satoransky. And Tomas Satoransky couldn't wait to get out of Washington, and that's why he got a signing trade to Chicago. Right? So that's another tall point guard that they failed to use correctly. And here's Troy Brown. And look, for Troy Brown, this might be the best situation. If he gets traded to a team that knows how to utilize bigger point guards, lets him play that position, lets him facilitate, lets him handle the ball, maybe Troy Brown could actually make something of his NBA career. Because right now, what is he doing?
Oh, he will. He will. He goes somewhere. They will definitely use his talents. And Ben, they may overlap. They are similar players. But, I mean, as a franchise, what don't you want a handful of those players as young guys? How doesn't that help your team?
Having good young players, I think, is usually a decent idea if you're an NBA.
Right. I feel like that would overlap if they were both superstar players that you would get as like the focal point, right? You wouldn't get, you know, like a Joel Embiid and and Jokic on the same team. You know what I mean? So, but I mean, as young, you know, role players, I don't see why they want to get rid of them. I don't see that why they haven't used them all season. He proved last year that he is a capable asset. I know that I've already said that a couple of times, but he's so capable. And Ben, the Wizards are going to be kicking themselves. Once he's gone, he finds himself somewhere. What if a Greg Popovich gets a hold of him?
We always ask this question. It's always, to me, this says a lot more about the Wizards than it does Greg Popovich. Because the talent's apparent. We haven't coached basketball. We really are just talking about it from a bird's eye perspective, having watched hoops and covered it for a very long time. Mm-hmm. But players like Troy Brown have succeeded. Nobody's asking Troy Brown to be the next Scottie Pippen, but he can become a Sean Livingston. He can become a Kyle Anderson. These are all very valuable role players on good teams. And the Wizards don't have those guys right now. They have Russell Westbrook, Bradley Beal, and a bunch of players who sometimes show up and often don't. And Troy Brown, when he plays good minutes. He contributes. Wednesday, 13 minutes. He blocked a couple of shots at 3 assists, 5 points.
Not a showcase.
Of course, it's not a showcase, but like when he plays, he makes a difference. Yet the Wizards can get slapped in the face with talent and still not realize it. And that's what you're witnessing right now. And it's a shame.
That's what it is. It is a shame, man. And really watching that loss was tough too, man. It didn't seem like they made any adjustments from the last time they played him. Besides playing Troy Brown.
And what happened when he played? They took the lead.
They were
the only players with a plus-minus in the entire roster.
Because
he played defense. I'm sorry for Russell Westbrook and Howell Neto. Neither of them can competently guard elite-level point guards. Do no fault of their own. But Troy Brown is one of the only good defensive guards on this team. He showed that he can get after the – he gets in passing lanes. He creates transition points. He got that key and one. He makes key plays that don't always necessarily translate to the box score. He's a winning basketball player. And if he ends up in a team like the Golden State Warriors,
oh, they'll use him.
Playing key minutes down
they'll use him.
Making winning plays. But there's a key difference between the Warriors and the Wizards. That's an apparent one. And for the Wizards to take the next step, if they keep selling the franchise and the fan base, this idea of player development and building on draft picks as they have, you have
makes
to
be nervous for Danny.
That's what I'm saying. Because let's say Troy Brown was not in different shoes that long ago. They were in the same shoes, just not that long ago. And here we are talking about Troy Brown.
You're right.
For like 2 second-round picks. Because let's be honest, if you're trading Troy Brown, what are you getting for him? His value is nothing. You haven't played him all year.
Are you looking to get assets? Are you looking to get picks? Because right now, when his market value is not up, well, I mean, what are we talking about?
I imagine
they
probably get like a veteran backup center. It wouldn't shock me if they traded him for like an Aaron Baines. And then what does that say about the Wizards, right?
I don't know how that would benefit them. 21-year-old kid who's fast, tall, long. He spaces the floor really well. He's great with the ball in his hand.
They traded the 23-year-old Kelly Oubre for 35-year-old Ariza.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're right. And
why did they do that? For a push for the playoffs. And how'd that work out? You ended up with Rui Hachimura for a reason. Because the team was bad.
Right. Yeah. Rui. And Rui, too, has been playing extremely inconsistent.
Well, this team, he has no role. I mean,
shooting-wise, really, right?
He has no role. Nobody on this roster besides Beal and Russell had roles. And when they were winning, it looked like they had roles. They were playing within the roles. And now all of a sudden they don't. So that's confusing to me.
They better find there needs to be, because Philly tonight, 2 games against Milwaukee in a row. That's not – they can find themselves in a deep hole real quick.
Yeah, and it can't get –
I don't know.
We've talked about this team being on the cusp of the playoffs, but let's not kid ourselves. This team hasn't – sniffed 500 this season. Just because they're on the cusp of the playoff means that the Eastern Conference is horrible. It's not because the Wizards have been playing basketball. They had a good 8-game stretch, but besides that, this whole season has been a disaster for the Wizards. And if they make a trade for Troy Brown, they're basically conceding that they messed up with the 15th pick. Either they messed up with the 15th pick, or they're incapable of developing top picks. And either of those choices are horrible ones.
I mean, yeah, we have a lot more to get into about all of that and some trade rumors, guys. Before we get into all of that, I want to tell you guys about BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Ben used it. He got all his parlays in for tonight. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, real-time updated odds and prop bets on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook expert. Go use the promo code Locked On. We're covering everything you need to know about the Washington Wizards, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with the Locked On Today podcast. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Go follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you may listen. Ben, Washington needs a big man, and former All-Star LaMarcus Aldridge, he's available. He will be available this week at some point. Coach Greg Popovich, he confirmed that the team is looking to part ways with Aldridge. We've talked all year long about them needing to desperately upgrade their front court. Does Aldridge interest you? Is he too old? Has he fallen off that cliff yet? Do you like him? I mean, possible trade. Robin Lopez, Bertans, like what? I mean, who do you want to give away for him? What? I mean, do you want him?
I mean, I would love LaMarcus Aldridge on his team as a floor spacer. He's one of the best shooting big men of all time. His turnaround jumper is basically unguardable. I would love him on the team. I'm not sure what the asking price is. You threw out Davis Bertans and Robin Lopez. I think that's an interesting trade because the Spurs never wanted to give up Davis Bertans. They did it because they thought Marcus Morris was coming. And then obviously he decided not to and joined the Clippers, I believe, or the Knicks last minute there. That trade, I think, checks out. I'm not sure if the Wizards would want to pull the trigger on that. Aldridge is 35, although he's still a good, productive offensive center. He's not a good defender, never a great rim protector, can't really switch. He's kind of an old-school big man in that sense. Doesn't really give the Wizards what they need. They have scoring already with Beal and Westbrook and some of the other guys there. Aldridge would add to that. It would be interesting to have him space the floor for Westbrook and allow Westbrook to attack the basket a little bit more, but doesn't really give the Wizards what they need, right? They need a rim protector, someone who can rim run, someone who can switch off screens, do the little things, the scrappy things, the dirty things, so to speak. And Aldridge isn't that guy, more of a finesse big man. But yeah, I think the Spurs will do Aldridge a favor. He's been there for a while now, and I think he'll end up with a contender. I don't think they would do him at this, send him to Washington.
Yeah, I hear you on that, Ben. And I think Washington would not benefit, you know, from this either. You know, he's entering really the latter years of his career. 35 years old, spent many good years in Portland, a handful of great years with Greg Popovich. I really still wish that he stayed in Portland, though, honestly, to see what that trio could have been. He was young when he left there. So, but yeah, Ben, I don't think that would really benefit either one of the parties there for Washington. You know, he's getting old. He's probably falling off that cliff. And you're right. These older guys, they're starting to go to contenders. I don't know who they should go after. I don't think Tommy Shepard knows who they should go after. Ben, do you have anyone in mind who they should go after?
Andre Drummond is such the obvious choice that I think we're going to end up speaking it into existence because we've said his name.
Oh, Drummond. I would love him too. I would. I
there's
just think
no
it's
one
not
else
gonna,
on the market. I mean, there's I don't literally think, yeah. no one else there. I mean, unless you sign like a Dwayne Dedman or something, some random free agent.
I think right now Brooklyn and the Lakers are thinking, you know, if either one of them gets them, they're screwed. So they're both going to gun for him hard.
I think so. I think that's the case. Maybe if Washington could finesse a trade, if they're that desperate for a center, and the Cavs have a reason not to buy Drummond out, and they trade and they can acquire something interesting from Washington, maybe a Troy Brown, maybe Robin Lopez, maybe a Bertans, I don't know. Maybe the Wizards get desperate and they need a big. Because as we saw on Wednesday, they need a big. It's just not even a question. I appreciate Robin Lopez, Mo Wagner, and Alex Len. But when you run into a semi-productive center like Jonas Valanciunas, the Wizards get absolutely eaten up. I hate to say it was borderline embarrassing to see what Jonas Valanciunas was doing. 29-20.
Absolutely. I mean, monster on the glass. That was just Ben.
He dunked over Mo Wagner like it was a Nerf hoop, man.
Ben, 60 rebounds to the Wizards 39.
So they need to do something. Aldridge wouldn't help there, obviously. God. They got to do something. Literally something. Like
you can't expect to win with that type of possession, though.
You can't win. You can't expect it because you can't. You can't win if you're giving up that many rebounds. With all due respect, Jonas Valanciunas, a very good center, not an all-star caliber center.
They made him look like an all-star.
I mean, they made him look like a Hall of Famer. I mean, he dunked on Mo Wagner. I thought that was like Sean Kemp mixed with Hakeem Olajuwon. That was ridiculous, man. He was doing whatever he wanted.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't good, Ben. Honestly, they never could get in a rhythm. It really looked like they were pretty sluggish the whole time. I can't really say that. They kind of got in a rhythm in the second quarter there, going towards half. But still, they never really seemed to get it going, man. I don't know if I – my biggest question, which has been the past couple weeks three weeks now maybe, when – is Scott Brooks going to change up the starting rotation? When is Denny Advia going to enter the starting rotation back? Because, frankly, Ben, I don't even know why he has Garrison Matthews starting anymore. I mean, some games he has him playing, 10, 15 minutes, and then he doesn't see, you know, the floor in the second half. And Denny is so, so productive. And, that's really been my concern. Like, you see these guys lose random games like these, and you start thinking, Is it because of the rotations? Is it because of, you know, like who's in there in crunch time? What do you think?
It's just the Wizards are holding on to the spark they got when Matthews and Mo Wagner started. None of this is ideal, and I think that's the issue here. Like, even if they were to start Denny Avdija, obviously he's a better player than Garrison Matthews. Are you convinced that he would get he's going to get shots with Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal on the court? There's no way. He's not going to get shots with them.
No.
Gerson Matthews is a better fit, I think, with that starting position, with that too, with that backcourt, because Matthews does a really good job moving without the ball. He gets some open threes. He draws fouls behind the three-point line. He's scrappy. Actually, don't mind him as a starter, but that you raise a bigger issue here. There is no solvable issue. The issue remains because there is nothing to be done. Like, there's no solution here because they've showed that they're incapable of finding it. Like, some of the solutions might be on the roster, but we've seen that Scott Brooks either refuses to go that route. He's incapable of going that route through pure stubbornness, or maybe just trying to stay through with the course, figuring it out. Whatever the case may be, we have enough of the, we're halfway through the season. We have no reason to remain optimistic about this team figuring it out. So when you say like Denny should start, of course I agree with you, but like, is the team going to win very many games with him starting? Like, I'm not convinced they would. And why? Because I'm not convinced they know how to use him properly. It's not because Denny can't help them win. It's because I'm not sure the Wizards know how to use Denny up there at this point. And that's therein lies the problem. And then we can go back to Troy Brown. And then we start from point A all over again, right? Because that's the problem with the Wizards. Inconsistency, incompatibility with these players and the coaching staff, and just in general, of just so much confusion, which is something's got to give.
So, Ben, if we're only talking about Troy Brown Jr., and we mentioned a Robin Lopez and Davis Bertans as well as trade options, who else could they be, quote-unquote, showcasing? You know, this team, like you say, there's holes everywhere. Do you think Tommy Shepard really has his eye? I mean, is everyone a trade option besides, you know, Bradley Beal, Russ?
Why would we throw Russ in there?
Or well, I mean, just because of his, you know, market value in his contract.
I would look, if I'm running this team, I'm calling teams to see if they want Russ.
I mean, do you think anyone wants Russ right now?
I think he's shown that he can still hoop. He's not an all-star. He's not an all-NBA.
Well, I mean, it's just because of his contract right now.
But I think teams like the Clippers might be desperate enough that they need a point guard, right?
God, they'd pay crazy in luxury tax.
But luckily, Steve Ballmer's their owner, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Couldn't care less.
Yeah. Very true. Very. Well, and no, also. Yeah. So then, if you don't, if you want to throw him out to every team, then for sure, obviously, then Bradley Beal at that point is the only untouchable player. Russ. I mean, I just was going out on a limb just thinking, I mean, obviously, you know.
Right. I'm just saying. Like,
with the contract thing, but yeah, sure.
If you're an opposing team, what do you want that the Wizards have, honestly? If let's say you're the.
Brad. I don't know, Brad.
Right.
Flat out, Brad.
You want Brad. But, like, you don't. They're not. The Wizards aren't deep with role players that, like a Danny Green, or like the Sixers are deep with role players. The Hawks are deep with role players. You could look at teams like that where you're like, they have an interesting bench piece here that might help me, right?
Right. And like Davis Bertans before the season started was, I mean, so many teams wanted him.
Yeah.
I mean, any contending team wanted Davis Bertans. Right now, do they want him?
I think there could be some interest out there for him, because I think he's
some, but not as much as it was before. Right.
No, because you could have gotten a first round pick for him last year. Maybe two.
Absolutely.
Now you can't. Now you can't.
No.
Now you might be able to get Andre Drummond for him, but that's basically where it is. And that speaks to Andrew Drummond's value more than
that. And has Drummond been bought out yet? I don't think
no.
he hasn't been bought out yet. No.
I think the Cavs would prefer to trade him as opposed to just buying his contract out. So that's why I think the Wizards get interesting, because if the Nets and Lakers don't have things to trade for him, I think the Wizards can throw their name in a hat and say, like, look, we can give you Bertans, space the floor for Colin Sexton, Darius Garland, and help you out here, and you help us here. You know, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine, sort of thing. And maybe the Wizards can get involved
A little bit of. A little bit of Brad Beal, Russ, and Drummond. That'd be a nice three.
It's a fun team for NBA 2K. Maybe it'll translate to real life. You know what I mean? But who knows? I still wouldn't be convinced. But it's a hell of a lot better than depending on, with all due respect, Robin Lopez and Mo Wagner. Because you need at least – Russell Westbrook is the best rebounder on this team. That's all you got to say.
Right. No, he is. He is. You're not wrong. Absolutely. I mean, he's the best rebounding point guard in the game for sure. It's just they don't have – all their bigs, they're not rebounding bigs either.
They're not even –
besides, honestly, like, if you give the minutes to Alex Len, then sure, yeah, Len.
And that's also an issue. You got 2 minutes against the Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah, I mean, he's – I mean, it's so up and down. Yeah.
But before we get into more bigs, because we got to get into the bigs, Joel Embiid is coming to town. We got to tell you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. And Anthony could attest to that. It's amazingly low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. And guess what, Anthony? Now it's time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It's Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is Churro Puff versus Cookies and Cream. Anthony, I think the Churro Puff can definitely satisfy your sweet tooth, which I know you get from time to time. Okay. But I'm picking a bar. I'm going Cookies and Cream. It's the perfect combination of the two most indulgent flavors. It's a classic flavor that Churro Puff is going to have a hard time beating, I think. But the great part is both are healthy and tasty. Go to BuiltBar.com or go to Built_Bar on Twitter. Remember to use the promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That is LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. This year, the Lockdown Podcast Network will be live on Selection Sunday, March 14th, reacting to who's in and who's out of the NCAA tournament. Big Ten, Ben Stevens and Josh Neighbors host Selection Sunday Live with local experts from around the Lockdown College Network of podcasts. Follow Lockdown Live on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook today, or watch our Lockdown Selection Live special on March 14th. Breaking news from Fred Katz on Thursday saying that Bradley Beal is questionable with some left knee soreness on Friday night against the Philadelphia 76ers. Sixers have some injury stuff and some COVID stuff to deal with. Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid status is still unknown, at least as of Thursday. Both were held out previously with health and safety protocols. But look, the Sixers are atop the Eastern Conference. I thought they would be very good this year. I didn't think they'd be this good. Joel Embiid is playing at an MVP level. If he does play, the Wizards, I think, are in a world of trouble, Anthony. But look, we got two interesting things here with Brad potentially out. That would obviously put the Wizards at a serious disadvantage, but it's hard to, I guess, even assess this game because we don't know who's going to play. But I guess in general, Anthony, what do we got going on Friday? How are the Wizards going to respond after that drubbing they took on
Wednesday? Yeah, that was not good against Memphis. And you're right, Ben, if Embiid and Simmons are playing, This could get ugly for Washington. But again, you know, the Wizards can get in their rhythm, like we have seen against any great team. If they're shooting, if they're not turning the ball over like they, you know, if they're, you know, if Russ is not having 8-9 turnovers and the rest of the team is not grabbing, you know, 20-25 turnovers, then sure. They'll have a great chance to be in this game, and they always are in these games. No matter if they're getting killed in the first half, they always somehow are able to come around and hang around in these games and make it kind of close. But, yeah, Ben, if Philadelphia comes out with a healthy Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons not, if they're not staying away for COVID protocol, and if the Wizards are turning the ball over, they're having the same struggles they did against Memphis, this is going to be – yeah, this will be ugly. It'll probably be a blowout.
Yeah, if Jonas Valanciunas is dropping 29-20 and looking like Hakeem, and Joel Embiid
is 100-100 unbelievable. Game. Yeah, he's just unbelievable this year. I mean, his game, it just seems like it keeps taking that next step. Shout out to our boy Drew Hanlon, absolutely doing a phenomenal job. Best trainer in the league, huh?
Best trainer in the league, and the Sixers are looking like one of the best teams in the league. I know we've talked about the Nets ad nauseum and with good purpose here with Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving. If they meet the Sixers in the playoffs, who's guarding Joel Embiid? Blake Griffin, good luck.
I want to ask you this question. So, Ben, I mean, you're big on the Sixers.
Huge.
Locked On Wizards fans know that Ben Mahitch is big on the Sixers, especially for making a big, big push to the finals. Ben, are they your final? Are they coming out of the East for you right now? Is that what you're telling us?
I think they'd come out the East for me right now on March 11th.
Wow.
Look.
All right.
I love that Brooklyn
Book
team
it.
Is
Book
amazing.
It. The they process amazing is over.
They have amazing talent. The Nets team is amazing. They have a first-year head coach, though. They have a first-year head coach. Their head assistant.
Championship coach.
And Mike D'Antoni has never really coached in the finals in the past, right? So they don't have finals experience on this team besides Kevin Durant. Of course, Kyrie Irving as well.
You're talking about You're talking about Steve Nash?
I'm talking about Steve Nash. I'm a first-year head coach there.
Steve Nash. Yep.
The team is still coming together. They have incredible talent, but their defense inside is questionable. Joel Embiid is the best big man in the NBA. Sure. Ben Simmons is one of the best perimeter defenders in the league. If you're going to pick a team that can beat Brooklyn, I think the Sixers have the makings of a team that can. Doc Rivers is one of the best head coaches in the league. Daryl Morey is one of the best GMs in the league. They have the makings of a really, really, really good team. A playoff competitor, too, not a team that's just going to flame out because they have shooting now. They have championship caliber players in Danny Green, Seth Curry. They have players that can get it done on both sides of the floor. Tobias Harris should have been an all-star, in my opinion, too. He's been balling out this year. So they're nothing to scoff at. I get the Sixers or the Nets are box office. You can't get nosebleeds there.
Definitely not scoffing at them. Definitely not. Yeah, not scoffing at them. No. But I'm sticking with Brooklyn as my pick out of the East. Shout out to my brother, hopped on the bandwagon this past year. You know, big fan. But no, yeah. I mean, Ben, I'm sticking with Brooklyn. I get the defensive issues. And I've been trying to make reasons for me not to pick Brooklyn after they made the trade for James Harden, because obviously we both love their depth. I think the whole league, you know, and everyone watching basketball loved their bench, their depth, how deep they were at every position. And then they made the big trade for Harden. But Ben, I feel like I'm trying to make reasons, you know, why this team will lose. But at the same time, they have three MVP caliber players. I mean, at the end of the day, there's just a feeling in my gut after 40 games have been played or so that, you know, all those other issues might not matter just because of just how the three unbelievable talents that they have. And if they're healthy come Eastern Comp, you know, come playoff time, then yeah, that's going to be hard to beat them in seven games. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Philly, they're playing unbelievable. I really hope they continue. They make another big run like they did the year they lost to Toronto. Because, right, I mean, you know, Embiid, like you talk about him, I mean, and Simmons, those are perennial all-stars. And Embiid's already, you know, on that superstar level. And Ben Simmons is right behind him, obviously. So yeah, they're right there too, man. And, you know, they're still young. They are still young. They have time. Philly's got time too. So if it's not this year, they're still going to be right there for a bit, right?
I mean, they say styles make fights, right? And that's, you can find a really, really talented fighter who just is met with a guy who just knows how to beat him. And I think the Sixers are kind of destined for this. I mean, although Embiid and Simmons are young, they're playoff tested. It's not like they're really young players who don't have playoff experience. They're playoff tested. And more importantly, they have a coaching staff that's championship caliber, and they have a championship caliber front office. And the pieces around them, the Danny Greens, the Tobias Harris, the Seth Currys, these players get it done when it matters most. And they're the key pieces that make the difference for championship teams. The Nets, I'm not sure they have that. I mean, who's their best role player? Joe Harris, right? Very good player. But besides him, Andre Jordan.
It just seemed so much more deep.
As deep as they – and they're going to undoubtedly have to rely on Blake Griffin and Jeff Green. That scares me. Because there's not a player on that Sixers roster that you can't really depend on. Everyone is really good.
So many of those players in the Sixers spread the floor. It's unbelievable. I mean, how many defenders they're able to draw off you know, I mean, that's just what it is. I mean, and Ben, it's going to be hard. I would love to see that Eastern Conference matchup. I think that both those teams are better than Milwaukee. I don't know if you have them knocking at the door.
I'm with you
a Boston Celtics team, maybe knocking at the door. I don't know if either of the teams
It's them two.
But this will be the year, right? So Philly, you know, their kryptonite has been Boston, right? Since Embiid and Simmons have really entered the league. They've always, you know, kind of, you know, been beaten Philly. So
this
maybe
Boston
this will
team
be
wants to go home already.
Here.
This Boston team hears playoffs and they're like, God, we're doing that this year again? Can we just go home? This Celtics team.
Oh, come on.
Championship.
No, you know, you don't
Have you
think,
watched them play this think, year? They look bored and they look tired. They want to go home.
Wow. We got to get John Corrales on Lockdown Wizards, man. Maybe next Celtics game we'll get John Corrales on just to talk some C's. But wow, Ben, you're not giving you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown a lot of credit here. No, they lost their hunger, you're saying?
No,
but they lost their hunger.
I think they're a team that's playing Jeff Teague in his 2021. You know? Right. I think they made some mistakes in the offseason.
So your beef is with Brad Stevens?
I just think the roster, you look at that roster and you're like, all right, besides Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, what else you got? They don't want Kemba Walker anymore.
Gotcha.
Do you think they want Kemba Walker anymore? Of course not.
Ooh. Kemba's coming up. Well, he's coming off these
anymore. You know, he doesn't make sense on that team.
He had a bit of a – I love Kemba.
Two great scores. I love him too, but he doesn't make sense there. He makes no sense.
And It's March. Cardiac Kemba, and I'm getting Kemba slander during March.
Well, he just doesn't make sense there. That whole team, you look at him and you're like,
This is Kemba's favorite month, bro.
He played like it's a pickup game.
I mean, I hear you. But that's the difference between the two, I want to give him credit, though.
Because you watch the Sixers play, and they look like, wow, you're a well-oiled machine.
Well, listen, you know, last playoffs, it was a much different story. So we'll have to see come this playoff. We will. And I know that they're looking a lot better than Boston.
I'll just say Brett Brown. Two words, Brett Brown, okay?
Brett Brown. All right. Brett, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on. Ben's a huge fan. But no, Ben, seriously. I mean, I guess before we let these guys go, I mean, since I got your take on the Eastern Conference, Ben, how real the Jazz? The Suns are gunning for this one spot. The Lakers, the Clippers, they're right there too. Who's your real contender? Who's your two teams that are going to probably make it to the Western Conference Finals? Last year was super strange. Nuggets ended up making it. So who do you got coming out of the West this year? Who are they playing to come out of the West?
This is why I think we can bring it right back to the Wizards. These teams that are championship teams, like you mentioned, the Jazz, the Lakers, even the Nuggets last year, championship caliber teams, have role guys like Monte Morris with the Nuggets last year, right? You watch the Jazz play now, you got Royce O'Neal. They just signed Ersan Ilyasova, yeah. Joe Ingles, all these guys who no one knows who they are. They can walk around Salt Lake. They can walk around anywhere. Nobody knows who Royce O'Neal or Joe Ingles are. He's huge in Salt Lake. Everyone loves Joe Ingles. But I'm just saying, like, he's not a household name, but they make all the difference of championship caliber players. The Wizards don't have that right now. But to answer your question, I think the Lakers come out if Anthony Davis is healthy. They're stacked top to bottom. Anthony Davis is the best big man in the league. LeBron James still the best player in the NBA. When you mix the combo there, the unselfishness with which they play. Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, fantastic team. They just don't have enough. I mean, that's legendary. Those are two legends. That's a pinnacle of NBA talent, and the Jazz can't beat them.
Right,
and honestly, how many teams in the history of the NBA can compete with that much talent? There are only a handful, and the Jazz, this year's iteration at least, aren't one of them. But there's a lot of factors to be considered here, including health, and that's a huge part of winning a championship, as we saw a couple years ago with the Warriors and Raptors. So that's all to be determined. But let's close off with a prediction here. Sounds like you're going to go Sixers over Wizards. Is that what you're going with? Obviously,
I think the Wizards have better luck when I pick them to lose. So yeah, I'm going to go a loss against the Sixers. I do think that Embiid and Simmons will be ready to play. But I mean, you know, if they don't play, that's great for the Wizards. I'm assuming they will play. So, yeah, I'm going with a loss, guys. Hopefully, you know, I'm usually wrong, so hopefully that will propel the Wizards to win. Ben, how about you?
Yeah, I think they're going to lose this game as well. But more importantly, let's see if they're going to keep playing Troy Brown and if they play him with this reason to trade him. Denny Avdija actually had some chances to shoot the ball. He took 8 shots on Wednesday, scored 13 points in one of the better games that he's played recently. So let's just, you know, wins and losses.
Let my boy shoot.
Let Denny shoot. Hashtag let Denny shoot.
Let him shoot.
Let's just see how this team operates, right? Because that I think is more important at this point in the season than wins or losses. Let's see how this team progresses, how Denny is utilized, Troy Brown's role and whatnot. But we want to thank you guys for listening. As always, we'll be back with you again on Monday, recapping what could be a win against the Sixers. We'll find out tonight. If you haven't already, go subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Locked On Wizards, and we'll be back on Monday.